welcome to the B-side. We are excited, taking some questions today. You got Adam here, Steve is here, as usual.
Hello. Hey.
That's awesome.
I'm here.
You are here. We are actually very topically themed with the time of year that it is. Here's the question that's come in, and before I ask it.
Oh, is the question, what is the purpose of the two-man luge?
That's just awkward.
What's the second guy doing? That's my question. I don't know. Oh, it's not Olympics related. Besides, no, okay, no, sorry.
Not Olympics.
More... What's the second guy do on the two-man luge?
I don't know. It just caught me off guard, and I thought, I remember watching it for the first time, and I was like, this is just weird. I feel like I could have been the second guy in two-man luge.
I think his job is to be heavy so that the sled goes faster.
Did you just call me fat?
I think that's the second man's job. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, not Olympically themed, but themed with what's going on currently, and it happens every year. Here's the question. Ready?
Yes.
Are you sure?
So every year, not every 4 years. Okay, yeah.
What is Lent?
Okay.
First, what is it? Second, who's it for?
Okay. Yeah, so we're in the season of Lent, part of the church calendar. Certain denominations observe, and traditions observe the church calendar more rigidly, strictly, closely. So you have the season of things like Advent as part of the church calendar, mm-hmm. and then Epiphany after that, and then you get to Lent, which begins with Ash Wednesday. Lent is the 40 days, not counting Sundays, so it's actually like 46 or something like that, 40 days prior to Easter. And it's a period of fasting, historically, and a preparation, mm-hmm. for Easter. And historically, Lent is, I think, essentially mandatory in Catholicism. Mm-hmm. There's mandatory fasting in the 40 days of Lent. And so Catholics observe Lent pretty strictly, I believe. And it's also prominent in sort of a number of the mainline traditions. So I'm thinking like Anglicans, things like that. Now, historically, reformers rejected Lent as being unbiblical. It's not; they couldn't find it in the Bible, and as being like works righteousness. Like it's like you have. They're looking at all of the Catholic practices that they grew up with, and now they're reading the Bible and evaluating church by what and the practices by what does the Bible actually teach. They can't find Lent in the Bible. And so when the church says you have to do Lent and you have to fast during Lent, they're like, it's not there. You're requiring things that aren't biblical. This is works righteousness. This is wrong. And so they rejected it. So there's this famous story, one of my favorite Reformation stories. It's 1522 in the city of Zurich in the spring during Lent. It's on a Friday, and the town printer, it's kind of a really noble job. He owns the press and he prints things and literature, and it's a pretty important job. And they're working really, really hard. And they complete a new copy of Paul's letters, print and bound, on their early Gutenberg press. And to celebrate, the town printer, he throws a big sausage supper for all the workers that work so hard on this book. Now, it's a Friday, it's Lent, it's, you know, pre-Reformation. So this is pretty controversial. They're having a sausage supper when meat is, you must fast from meat on Fridays during Lent. That's the rules.
But and I love meat.
I know. And they invite to the supper Ulrich Zwingli.
Who we talked about before.
Yeah. Reformer, Ulrich Zwingli, Swiss guy. He's the town priest, Catholic priest, right? They invite Zwingli to the supper, and he comes, and they eat sausage to the glory of God and gratitude, and it's amazing, worshipful, carnivorous?
That's not the word of the
That's
day.
That's not a word.
No.
They eat the meat, and they love Jesus. And then Zwingli gets up, and he preaches a sermon.
On a Friday
at the sausage supper.
After dinner. This is the type of church
it's a meat fest, gospel fest. And I'm like, yes, sign me up.
We should have sausage Friday night once a year. Yeah. One, maybe on the exact opposite time of men's retreat, we should have like men's dinner and it's only meat, no veggies or anything.
Sounds good. That would be fun. So he gets up and he preaches a sermon on how Lent's not in the Bible and it's not biblical and the freedom of the gospel and all this sort of stuff. And it's super controversial. It leads to like a massive town debate and all the people are debating this thing because it's really shocking that they would throw a sausage party during Lent on a Friday and preach the gospel saying Lent's not biblical. Mm. But it leads Zurich to this big debate. They have a number of disputations, like these kind of town meetings and arguing back and forth. And in the end, Zurich agrees with Zwingli, and they decide, and they break off, and they become the first reformed Protestant city in all of Switzerland. Mm. And after that, the dominoes started to fall, you know, because Switzerland's a great reformed country in the end, and it sheltered John Calvin as he fled from France, and he led to all the theological work and these great leaders like Calvin and Beza and Zwingli and others. But this event sort of triggered the Swiss Reformation, and Zurich's becoming a reformed city led to like Geneva and Basel and mm-hmm. and so it really was early in the Reformation and fueled it. So it all has to do with, so historically, Protestants don't like Lent because it's like, they'd argue it's unbiblical and it goes against the gospel, and we're not saved by keeping fasts that are mandatory during Lent. We're saved by God's grace. We should eat and celebrate and give thanks to God. But more recently now, evangelicals.
They're all on the Instagram. All on the Instagram. Yeah. This is what I'm doing for Lent.
The
Facebook.
I think they're like, you know, this group of evangelicals who don't really have much sense of church history and tradition and ties to the greater church historically are kind of rediscovering some of these things. And I think some of that's good because we in our stream, we sometimes our great weakness is we're like all about the Bible and what the Bible teaches, but we just ignore thousands of years of people reading the Bible and following mm-hmm. Jesus. And some of that church history is a mess. Some of it needs to be repented of. Some of it is good and should be celebrated and we can learn from. So some people are learning and they find Lent to be valuable. So yep. It's kind of come back a bit for evangelicals. So my thoughts on it, I mean, pros and cons as Lent as we do it now. So I don't think anyone's fasting the way Catholics fast for Lent. No. When we're talking about like, so for those 40 days, you give something up.
If I was observing Lent, I would be eating meat still.
Yeah, I mean, that's that's awful.
Yeah.
Giving up meat.
We just ate pizza, literally.
Yeah, it was good.
Delicious.
Praise the Lord. I was thankful for it.
Me too. Okay, so Lent, giving things up, fasting.
You know, you see people give up, like, yeah. I'm going to give up social media or Facebook or a certain TV, yep. watching TV for 40 days and stuff like that. And
I'm going to give up watching Survivor 46 for Lent.
Me too. I've given that up for life, actually. So I think there's some pros and cons to it. Mm-hmm. I think the cons are, what I've observed is, I think the big con is the mandatory fasting of the way some churches, like the Catholic Church, does Lent.
Yeah.
It's not just fasting, it's penance. It's a suffering that you do, and it's a means of accomplishing your salvation.
Ding, so, ding, ding. Word of the day.
Penance.
Penance.
So kind of acts of repentance yeah. that are actually required of you yeah. in order to have forgiveness. So fasting in Catholicism is tied to penance, and it's a suffering you go through to identify with Jesus, to display your repentance. And ultimately, it really blurs the lines into works yeah. righteousness, and I think that's dangerous.
Because we do nothing.
We do nothing. But that's not what most of us are doing, mandatory mm-hmm. fasting. What we see is people doing like a voluntary fast. But I think that the downside of this is how much we see it kind of becoming a showy thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give this up for Lent. And like, how many people have I seen on like Facebook or Instagram telling the world?
Yeah. I'll see you in 40 days, world.
Because I'm, you know, and it's like, okay, the thought I immediately have is, this passage in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus talks about fasting, because that's what Lent is. I'm going to mm-hmm. fast. I'm going to
and fasting choose is to good.
Abstain. Yeah,
fasting so Jesus, is good and biblical.
Jesus says, and when you fast, So it assumes you're going to fast. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So Jesus had a significant objection to those people who would fast primarily so that people would admire their righteousness and they would see them publicly fasting. And he says, if you're going to fast, don't do it in such a way that people notice. Do it in a way that nobody notices, because fasting is about you and the Lord and honoring him and drawing closer to Jesus. So the downsides to Lent, I'm against mandatory fasting as a means of salvation. Totally reject that, not the gospel. And the reformers were right to stand against it. I'm also against a sort of a fasting in public to be seen by others. If you're fasting for Lent, I think that's great. When you fast, don't do it so that you'll be seen by others. Yeah. I don't need to know what your fast is. It's between you and the Lord. The pros to Lent is, if you're saying, hey, I'm going to set apart this period of the year for the next 6 and a half weeks, I want to have a more intentional focus on the cross, recognizing the depth of my sin and the depth of what Jesus has paid for me. And, you know, it's that I recognize that I so easily forget these things, take them for granted. I take the forgiveness of God and the what Jesus paid on the cross for me for granted. How can I intentionally think of that more, especially during this time of year? That's an amazing thing. And if that means I'm going to fast from something in order to dwell more on what Jesus has done for me, that's a great thing. So focusing more on repentance, focusing more on the cross, I'm all for that. That's very good. And fasting itself can be a good practice. Jesus told us when you fast. So I think fasting is good. It's about you drawing closer to the Lord. It's about prayer. It's not about being seen by others.
It's not about Instagram likes.
I think a season of time devoted to focusing more on Jesus and his and the cross is an excellent thing. So then the other question would be like, well, do we do anything with Lent and Good Friday? And
I feel like it's the Oscars here.
Yeah, getting played off. And the answer is we don't do an Ash Wednesday service, Ash Wednesday being the day that starts Lent. But usually what we do is the first Thursday, closest, the first Thursday that happens during Lent, let's say, depending on where it falls, because it kind of bounces around a little bit. Based on the lunar calendar, it's kind of weird. The first Thursday that follows Ash Wednesday, we set aside that first Thursday for a focus on repentance, on the cross, on God's forgiveness of us, and so kind of having a Lent-type theme. And so that's actually coming up, because we're heading into first Thursday is on the, well, it's
the first Thursday of
the
every month.
Thursday of the month, so that's going to come up on the...
It's going to be like the 7th of March or something?
The 1st, actually. The first? March 1.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. I was just thinking with women's retreat when they're going. I'm like, they won't be back. They won't be back till the 4th or 5th or something.
Yeah, so on Thursday, March 1, we're going to have First Thursday, we're going to worship and pray, and we're going to have a focus on preparing ourselves and setting apart the evening, at least, to think about Easter's coming, and let's not let it rush past us. So it's sort of, it's similar to Advent. It can be useful to intentionally focus on what Jesus did in coming and to intentionally focus on what Jesus did in dying.
Yeah.
And so that's the point. And I think, so there's some pitfalls to avoid, especially because it's rooted in Catholic practice.
Yeah.
And yet there's some benefits to be reaped if approached rightly.
So Lent is or isn't redeemable, you think?
I think it's not biblical.
Not
that it's immoral, meaning that it's not taught by the Bible.
Yeah.
Therefore, we cannot say it's mandatory. Like, we can never say you have to do this if the Bible doesn't say you have to do this.
Okay. But fasting,
so there's freedom.
Fasting encouraged.
Fasting is encouraged. But Jesus talks about what, like, how we should be fasting and what we should do. And so fasting is good. Lent could go either way. How it depends how you Lent, how you Lent it, how you Lent it up. You can, if you're Lenting in the right way.
So, Lent on the right side or the left side?
Yeah. So yeah, I think there's some
pros and cons.
There's some principles at play. Focusing on Jesus, fasting, drawing closer to God.
Those are good.
Those are good. Mandatory fasts, bad. Yeah. Work salvation,
bad.
Awful. Catholicism in general.
Bad. Oh man, we're gonna get some hate mail.
In this case, mandatory. But so I would encourage people to carve something out of their life and focus on Jesus and the cross. I would not encourage people to advertise that.
To
the world.
Yeah.
That's the washing, you know, looking gloomy. That's called, you know, putting it on Facebook.
Also not mandatory, but easily accepted, is we're pro eating meat if you want to have us over for a barbecue. Or you can just email a question to the B-side at tachurch.ca so we can keep answering and keep going.
Seriously, sausage supper.
It should just be all meat. Why discriminate down to just sausage?
Hey, it's like the 500th anniversary of the sausage cup supper coming up in 4 years. We should have like
sausage fest.
500-year meat fest.
Oh, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Invite a bunch of people over. Huge barbecue.
Let's do it.
Mm.
Mark your calendars, folks, for
4 years
spring
from
of
2022.
Maybe we should even go to Zurich. That's a bit expensive. It's just cheaper to buy more meat.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening to the B-side. We'll talk to you soon. This has been Adam and Steve.
See ya.